CBC Television presents...
Hancock.
Meanwhile, back at Brook Farm, Dan Bowman has his troubles, too.
Well, those blasted crows have certainly taken all the seed out of this field, George.
Ah, you were right there, Gaffer. If we don't get a decent crop out of this field, we won't have any winter feeding for the cows.
That's true. Oh, this farming life, if it's not one thing, it's another.
Ah, yes.
Well, there's no good standing here complaining about it. There's work to be done.
Dan, I brought your sandwiches and your flask.
Hello, love. You think of everything, don't you, love? Here, you've been crying. What's up, love?
Oh, it's nothing, Dan.
Now, come on, love. I'll go. Someone's upset you. You can't keep things from me. Come on, what's wrong, lass?
Well, it's young Diane. Mrs. W. saw her coming out of the country club last night with Paul Black.
Paul Black? Well, his divorce isn't through yet. Are you sure it was our Diane?
Well, Mrs. W. said she saw her.
Oh, he's no good, Gladys. Where's he get his money from? That's what I'd like to know. Oh. I don't like it, Gladys. Oh, no. I can't believe our Diane would go out with the likes of him. There's plenty of decent lads in the village. I can't believe it.
Well, it's true, Dan. Joshua saw her as well.
Oh, that old scallywag. You can't believe anything he says.
Oh, well, here he comes now with his dog. You can ask him yourself.
Over here, Joshua.
I got mangleworthels in me garden. I got mangleworthels in me shed. I got mangleworthels in me bathroom and a mangleworthel for a head. Get down there.
Get down,
you black-hearted creature. Get down, I say. Get down, I'll fetch me
stickers off
you.
Hello, Joshua, you old rascal.
Hello, Fred, me old pal, me old beauty, me old darling.
Joshua, I want a word with you.
Oh, dang my bitches if you don't all look all worried-like. Get down, big part. What be the trouble then, Dan, me old pal, me old beauty? Has the blight been at your turnips again?
No, it's not that, Joshua.
Ah, then it'll be the kale up in North Meadow. It's gone to seed. I told you to get it in last week, didn't I? But you wouldn't listen to old Joshua, no. No one listened to old Joshua, but he knows, you know. Oh, he knows old Joshua. He knows all right, oh.
I warn you.
One more yelp from you and you get this down your throat. Now, go on, put your...
It's not the kale either. I got that in during the spell of fine weather last weekend.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that, damn me old pal, me old beauty. Dan, what be a bothering you, then?
It's my daughter, Diane.
Ah, then you heard about that no-good city slicker, Paul Black.
Then it's true.
Ah, of course it be true. I been a-seeing him in me own eyes. Coming out the Turk's Head, they was. A-giggling and a-cuddling and a-kissing.
Oh, Dan.
Steady, love.
Oh. Ah, well, that mayn't be the worst of it.
What happened, Joshua?
I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you what I saw with my own eyes.
But what did you see, Joshua?
I'm going to tell you what I saw.
Well, come on, out with it, man. What did you see?
Yes, Joshua, what did you see our daughter and this man get up to?
All right, then. I'll tell you.
You have been listening to The Bowmans, an everyday story of simple people. The news and radio newsreel follows in a few moments.
What on earth do you think you're playing at? Are you trying to ruin the program?
Wasn't my fault. It was him, the dog, barking when he's not supposed to. He's trying to drown me. I know what he's up to.
I did not. I bark when I'm supposed to bark.
You did not. It's got down there 3 yelps and a growl. You were a barking and a snarling all over the place. Ever since that a disgraceful exhibition of drunkenness in the whole of my professional career.
Oh, well, you shouldn't have poked him with that stick.
Will you kindly keep out of this, madam? I'm the oldest member of the community. Let's have a little respect.
You may be the oldest member of the village, Mr. Hancock, but you're not the oldest member of this cast.
Oh, quite.
Why, Dan and I, Mr. Osmington and I, were the two originals. You were brought in after, and you can be taken out.
Hmm. What do you mean by that? I've been in the show for 5 years. I get more fan mail than all the rest of you put together.
Oh,
20 million people gather around their radio sets at 6:45 every night, just waiting to find out what old Josh has been up to. I mean, I carry this program. It's only me and me bits of homespun philosophy and me jokes and me little rhymes. That's what keeps them glued to the set, mate. That's what they're waiting for. Not you moaning round the house about the weather and your daughter and your rock cakes. Say nothing. Here comes the producer. Hello, Ronnie. Another good one, eh?
It was not a good one. You practically ruined the whole of the last 5 minutes.
Who, me?
You were putting in bits all over the place. And what do you mean by coming on singing that stupid song about mangle wurzels? That wasn't in the script.
Oh, no, it wasn't. I made it up.
You have no right to put bits in.
Oh, of course. I portray the characters I see it. That's the sort of song he would sing, and I thought that as he just emerged from the Turk's Head, it seemed quite reasonable to assume he would be singing.
What happened if we all put singing in?
It was him who messed it up. Fido here.
Oh. I may tell you that I'm one of the finest dog impersonators in the country.
You're supposed to be my obedient dog. You're supposed to do what you're told. Instead of that, you yap round my feet all the time I'm talking. I'm going to get the scriptwriters to have you gored by a bull or something. Get an Alsatian in. I'm surrounded by amateurs.
All right. Don't start quarrelling. Now, here you are. Here are your scripts from Monday evening.
Thanks. Oh, good. Fine. Let's just find out what old Joshua saw outside the Turk's Head, eh?
Thank you very much.
This is good, isn't it? My word, this is rich. Oh, that's nice. Fancy that. This is your daughter for you. Very good. What's this? Joshua falls into the threshing machine?
Yes, I've been meaning to have a word with you about that.
I should think so, too.
He falls into the threshing machine and is rushed off to hospital.
Oh, I see, yes. A nice touch of human interest. Yes. Oh, Joshua in hospital. What a good idea. I've got it. I'm on the danger list. Hovering between life and death. 20 million people crying their eyes out. Slowly he pulls through. Courageous old Joshua. Jokes with the doctors. His first day up, chasing the nurses round the ward. Until 6 months later, he emerges triumphant from the hospital, stronger than ever. Oh, it's a must, yes.
Well, not exactly. He dies on Tuesday night.
He died?
Without regaining consciousness.
Have you gone raving mad? Do you seriously imagine the public are going to stand for this? You'll have a howling mob outside Broadcasting House hurling bricks through the windows.
Well, I'm sorry, but the decision has been taken. We're killing you off on Tuesday night.
But you can't kill off the most popular character in the whole programme. It's ridiculous. Do you want to economise? Have him put to sleep.
You can't get rid of me. I'm not just the dog, you know. I'm the whole farmyard.
Yes, I know, Harold. That's all right. Yes, all right, Harold. Yes. All right, Harold.
Harold!
All right, Harold. We're not getting rid of you. No, I'm sorry, Mr. Hancock. Not a question of economy. But our audience research has found that the character of Joshua is falling off alarmingly in popularity.
Oh, this is nonsense. I've never been so popular. Look at last year when I proposed to Mrs. W and she turned me down. And 332 proposals of marriage in the next post. Where I had that cough, 14 gallons of lung syrup turned up. I'm a real person to the listening public. I'm one of the family. They'll go berserk if I snuff it.
I doubt that very much. Miss Beaumont and I are the mainstay of the programme.
Well, I'm not standing for it. I should go straight to the top.
Well, my instructions have come from the top.
Oh. Well, it's the scriptwriters. They don't know what they're doing. They're making me far too unsympathetic. Last week I kicked the dog 3 times.
Well, that was not in the script.
Well, no, but he asked for it, shoving in yelp.
Sorry, there's nothing more to be said.
Oh, look, I've been in this program for 5 years. I've acted me heart out for you.
Ah, yes, that's another thing. You're acting.
What about my acting?
Well, it's erratic. We never know from show to show what performance to expect next. And what is more, people are beginning to notice your accent.
My accent is perfect. I spent 6 months on a cider farm in Devon getting it right.
It is never the same two performances running. Sometimes it's Somerset, sometimes it's Suffolk, then a bit of Welsh, Birmingham. Last week, I could swear we had a bit of Robert Newton in there. It's just not good enough. And these ridiculous clothes that you're wearing, this is a radio show.
I wear these clothes to get the feeling of the part. Of course, if you're completely ignorant of the Stanislavski School of Acting, I'm obviously wasting my time with this load of tat here.
We don't want method actors in here.
I'm not a method actor. I don't just rush around the studio scratching myself. What do you know about it anyway? You come in here, the next sound mixer for Sports Report, and talk to me about acting? It's all very nefarious, sir. I warn you, if things aren't put right over the weekend, I shall not be in on Monday for the coup de grace.
Well, we thought of that possibility. We have an alternative script ready. So you can either go now and die over the weekend, or come in on Monday and get an extra day's pay.
I see. That's the way things are shaping, is it? Well, as my landlady is pressing for the rent, I shall be in on Monday for the threshing machine. If you haven't heard the last of this, good day to you. And if you start yapping around my deathbed, I shall not be too weak to fetch you a powerful blow with me stick. Untutored hams!
Hurry, Lee, Doctor.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bowman.
You mean there's no chance?
I'm sorry. We've done all we can.
Poor old Joshua.
I think he's trying to say something.
What is it, Joshua, old son?
We're here, Joshua. Your friends are here.
Gladys,
Dad, I'm going.
No, you're not, Joshua. You'll pull through. You'll soon be back at Brook Farm, your old cheerful self again.
No, no. No, Dad, my old pal, my old beauty. The plow of time has come to the end of its furrow. It's harvest time and the great farmer has come to gather me in, you see. I done that oil bean barrel on the noontide. I'm thinking, it won't be long now. I'm gone. When you get your beaches in, will you think of me? I'm gone.
I think he's gone, Dan.
I'm going. I'm going. Goodbye, Dan. Goodbye, Gladys. Goodbye, Fred. Goodbye, Joe. There's only one thing I'd like to ask before I go. My last wish. I'd like my dear old dog to be buried alongside of me.
I think he's gone, Dan. Mother, Father, am I too late?
I'm afraid you are, Diane. His poor old tired heart has finally stopped. He's gone to a better place for a long-deserved rest.
Come still here, I haven't gone yet. Is that Diane, Commissioner? Long journey there.
We better be getting back to the farm. There's nothing more we can do here with old Joshua dead.
So he's gone. Poor kind-hearted Joshua is gone.
The best friend the man ever had. Although he's gone, he'll always be with us. Oi!
I'm getting better. I'm going to live.
Poor old Joshua.
Come on. He wouldn't want us to stand here crying over him. Let's go home.
You have been listening to The Bowmans, an everyday story of simple people. The news and radio newsreel follows in a few moments.
My word, you made a meal out of that, didn't you?
Disgusting performance.
This is the last time you ever work on one of my projects.
You weren't getting rid of me as easily as all that. I was going to go, I was going in a blaze of glory. Hello, what have we got here then?
I'd like you all to meet Julian Court. Julian is joining the program from tomorrow evening. He plays Gregory Forrester, who buys old Joshua's farm.
How do you do? I'm looking forward to a long and happy association with all of you.
It'll be a long one, mate. As soon as you start getting popular, they'll have you in the threshing machine like a shot.
Mr. Hancock, there's nothing more for you to do here. Would you be so good as to leave the studio?
With the greatest of pleasure.
There is your money.
Thank you. Here's generosity for you. The golden handshake. £4.12/6. Not even a week's wages.
They are equity rates, one day's pay. Good afternoon.
You'll regret this. You don't know what a little gem you had in me. I'm on my own now, I'll show you. If there's only this hotchpotch of rural beakness that have been holding me back. Get the chance to do some real acting for a change now. Good day to you.
Now, this is Winthrop Orpington.
Celia Bowman.
Fardels bear to grunt and sweat under a weary life.
Thank you very much. We'll let you know. Next.
But I haven't finished yet.
That's quite enough for us to judge. Thank you.
But I have some more speech.
Quite all right. We know what you can do. Next, please.
Hancock. Anthony Hancock. Joshua in The Bowmans. Yes, an everyday story of simple people.
Thank you. Carry on.
Yes. What would you like to hear?
Well, if it's all the same to you, we'd like to hear the part you came to audition for.
Yes. Well, I didn't know much about it, you know, I was in the coffee bar. Might be a bit rusty and all that.
Yes, well, carry on.
Yeah, I don't normally do auditions, you know.
That's all right. Carry on.
Quite, right.
We don't need any props.
Thought it might add to the charm of the whole thing. You'd give him some idea of how I'm going to interpret the role.
Mr. Hancock, we're quite familiar with the costumes of the piece. Just get on with the reading.
Oh, certainly, I do beg your pardon. Not used to doing auditions, you know.
Yes, so you said. Yes. Now, do come, I'll hurry along. We've got other people waiting, you know.
Yes, quite.
Hush!
What light from yonder window breaks? Tis Juliet and the sun is in the way.
Mr. Hancock, the play is Hamlet.
Hamlet, is it? I was distinctly told The Merchant of Venice. Terribly sorry. Hamlet, of course, is a completely different cup of tea, isn't it? I mean, which interpretation do you fancy?
We just want the words loud and clear. This is a British Arts Council tour of Tanganyika. I'm sure they won't worry about the interpretation.
Tanganyika? I wasn't told that.
Do you want the part or not?
Well, it's a few weeks in the sun, I suppose. What's the money like?
Well, let's wait and see whether you're right for the part, shall we?
I don't want to waste my time. You know, it is. I was getting a fair crack over the BBC. I don't want to go below that.
Are you going to give us a reading or not?
Yes. To be or not to be, that be the question. Whether it is nobler than mine to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune.
Next.
Or to take arms. Pardon?
I said Tanganyika, not Norfolk. We'll let you know later.
Let me know later? I'm sorry, that is not good enough.
All right, we'll let you know now. No. Next.
I feel I must remind you, young man, you're not dealing with some hobbledehoy, you're dealing with an actor of some merit. Just gave you the voice that captivated 20 million listeners every night for 6 years.
We're not interested. Next, please.
I warn you, the Tanganyikans aren't going to like this. I'm very highly thought of in Dar es Salaam. This is no way to keep the Commonwealth together. You'll be playing to empty mud hats, me man. There are other managements, you know. I shall offer my services to those who appreciate the talents of a true artist.
Right, action.
What has he got that other men haven't? Yes, Grimsby Pilchards, sought after by ladies of quality since 1811. Grimsby Pilchards, tuppence off for a trial offer. Yes, Napoleon has every right to rub his tummy. He's just had a delicious meal of Grimsby Pilchards, the food of emperors. Grimsby Pilchards for men. Fourpence off for trial offer. You're never alone with a Pilchard. Grimsby Pilchards, sixpence off for trial offer.
Giving me the push. Best adverts they've ever had. They can't blame me for what's inside the tin. I told them it was the tomato sauce that's turning people off. They should have taken their heads off. Very unnerving to open a tin and see six heads staring up at you. Now they have to have a scapegoat. Go on, blame it on the artist. When anything goes wrong, kick the actor out. Oh, show business is being run by idiots these days. No men of vision left. Oh, for the days of the actor-manager. My own theatre and that to all of them. They don't want talent these days. They just want a pretty face. Not that I don't come into that category as well. I'm not a pretty boy, I agree. I'm more like Peter Finch. Oscar Wilde, Parsley is ghastly. I think I'll turn acting in and go and live on a barge. It's a facet of life anyway. Hello, darling. Caught the share last night. Loved it. You were absolutely divine. What a load of old rubbish. I'll be a missionary, I think. Help the underprivileged people of the world. And it pays quite well, too. Or shall I just do away with myself?
Mr. Joshua Merriweather?
Who? Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
Oh, that's better.
Hey, you caused a bit of a stink dying last night, didn't you?
Last night?
Yeah, on the old Bowman's program. My old woman was very cut up about it, you know.
That was 2 weeks ago.
No, last night I heard it. Had you seen the papers this morning? It's all over the front page.
Oh, of course, the programme was recorded in advance. Yes, yes, of course, it would have gone out last night. Yes.
Yeah, you've upset the old country, you know. I mean, look at all that. Letters of protest, I shouldn't wonder. Oh, the old country's up in arms. Cost you a bubble too to answer that lot, won't it?
They've all gone mad.
Mrs. Joshua Merriweather, please.
Mrs. Joshua Merriweather?
These floral tributes have been sent by sympathetic people throughout the country on the sad occasion of her husband's death. It's going to be a lovely funeral.
Oh, this is madness.
There's more to come from my establishment alone. There's a further 6 vanloads. Tell Mrs. Merriweather our hearts are with her in her hour of sorrow.
This is ridiculous. It's only a programme.
When is the funeral? We'll all have our armbands on. A day of national mourning. Oh, by the way, a small tribute from the good lady wife and myself. Mrs. Joshua, to Joshua Merriweather, only sleeping. Well, I'll have to get home and comfort the wife. She hasn't stopped crying since last night, and I expect you've got all the arrangements to see to. Good morning.
Mr. Hancock, I'm Tim Walters of the Evening Globe. I want to do a follow-up story on tonight's main headline.
What are you talking about?
I haven't seen the papers. Look.
What? Nation stunned by untimely demise of Joshua Merriweather. Thousands of listeners jammed telephone lines to BBC. Really?
Yes, it's fantastic. Do you realise the BBC had 5,000 complaints in an hour after last night's programme?
Get away. BBC spokesman said last night, he had no idea this character was so popular. The heads of department are meeting to review the situation.
Now, look, Mr. Hancock, my paper would like to do a regular feature every night called the Joshua Merriweather column. Philosophical advice to the lonely and the miserable. You know, the sort of thing you've been doing on the programme. The quaint corny up against the pigsty sort of stuff. Comments on the political situation. Well, things like that. Now, don't worry, you don't have to write it. All we want is a picture of you at the top and the name, and we're willing to pay £5,000 a year.
Isn't it marvellous? £4.12 and 6 a day when you're alive and £5,000 a year when you're dead.
My dear sir, welcome back to Broadcasting House. Have a cigar. Well now, Mr. Hancock, I'm sure that we won't have any difficulty with our little problem.
I'm sure we won't.
Yes, quite. We've made tentative arrangements for the return of your character to the programme. And Mr. Ponsonby...
Well, I think you're going to like this, Tony. Joshua has a twin brother. Looks like him, all gestures exactly identical. He suddenly turns up at Brookhampton, buys his brother's old farm, and sets up in residence exactly as before.
Oh, very ingenious.
You like it?
Yes, I think it's a very, very, very good idea.
Ah.
Is there anyone snag?
What?
I'm not doing it. Unless...
Yes?
Unless you agree to my terms. 10,000 a year. 5-year contract. I get top billing. I write all my own scripts and a free radio licence.
Write all your own scripts?
Yes, we're not having any more of this falling to the threshing machine. Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I don't think there's anything else to discuss.
Your humble servant.
We present Anthony Hancock as Old Ben Merriweather in The Merriweathers, an everyday story of Old Ben Merriweather.
Good morning, Ben. How are you today?
How are we, old pal, me old beauty?
What's the weather going to be like today, then, Ben?
Well, I seen a crow on the wing this morning. He went round in 3 circles and flew off to the north. Ah, it'll be raining by lunchtime.
Oh, look, coming across the fields. There'll be Dan Bowman, Mrs. Bowman, their daughter Diane, and George and Freddy's farmhands, the squire and his wife, old Jim who owns the tobacconist, the vicar and the manager of the Turk's Head. Half the village be coming across.
Dang me, they shouldn't be walking across that field.
Why not?
Ah! Oh dear, what a shame. They've all fallen down that disused mine shaft.
We'd better get them out.
No, no, there'll be no point. No, 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 no. 300 foot deep it is, they'll all be spattered across the bottom. Ah, yeah. Fill it in and forget all about them. Put some of them wreaths we had left over from Joshua on top of them.
But that'd be half the village gone.
Ah, we'll soon stock it up again, lad. I got a lot of relatives knocking about. I reckon I could run this village on my own. I got mangleworthers in me garden. I got mangleworthers in me shed. I got mangleworthers in me bathroom and a mangleworthers for me head.
Thank you.